Good morning. Some of you will have known Maureen Smith, a dear friend from Cumnor URC. Maureen used to arrange the pulpit supply for Cumnor, and I remember she was always very insistent that a sermon should have a title to print in the order of service. Sometimes as a preacher, I used to find this quite difficult, especially sometimes having to think of a title before I'd thought of a sermon. But if I was to give this reflection a title, it would be this: wait, stay put, but don't just stand there. When I was in my 20s, I was part of an Anglican Fresh Expressions project called Maybe. We were a little community of people. We didn't have a building of our own to meet in, so we took it in turns to host a midweek meal in our homes. And on Sundays, we used to meet for a short and informal worship, usually outdoors in Port Meadow or in one of Oxford's many parks. If it was raining, then it would be especially short. And flying kites in South Park became for us an annual tradition to mark Ascension Sunday. Some of these were fancy stunt kites from Boswell's, and some were homemade paper and string kites with ribbon tails that we had made together and decorated with pictures of Jesus. There were lots of young children in our Sunday gatherings, and this seemed like a fun and, as was our style, mildly irreverent way to celebrate this special day. A ragged band of disciples standing on a hillside and gazing up at the sky. This was my introduction to the concept of Ascension Sunday. Even though I grew up attending quite a few different churches, I'm pretty sure I had never celebrated it before. And yet there are strong arguments to say that in terms of importance, this event is right up there with the big festivals of the church, Christmas and Easter and Pentecost. In the days after Jesus' resurrection, the disciples are still lost and confused. They're trying to make sense of what's happening. Here in verse 6, they ask Jesus, "Is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus encourages them to keep an open mind, saying, "It's not for you to know the times." He encourages them to think bigger and broader, to the ends of the earth. And then in front of their eyes, he's lifted up and he disappears into the clouds. It's strange and glorious and a turning point in history. It affirms something about who Jesus is and the cosmic scale of the events the disciples have lived through and witnessed. A few weeks ago, we heard in the lectionary Jesus' promise that in my Father's house there are many dwelling places, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself. Those are some words from Jesus' farewell discourse in John chapter 14. Now the disciples are witnesses to the first part of that promise being fulfilled: Jesus going ahead of them. The instructions that Jesus gives to his disciples in this passage seem to speak so much to our situation too. In verse 4, he tells them to wait, and he tells them to stay put. He tells them that they're going to have to loosen their grasp on some of the ideas and patterns they've always depended on, because their expectations are too narrow. The disciples are looking back nostalgically to when Israel was a sovereign nation and asking, "When are we going to get back to that, Lord? When will God restore all that we've lost?" they will need to readjust their perspective. And while this might sound terrifying, Jesus also says that help is on the way. They're not going to be alone in it. They will receive power from the Holy Spirit. Wait, stay put, try to keep an open mind, hope and trust. And I think perhaps the last two verses of today's reading carry a message for us too. There's something really very comical, I think, about the way that after Jesus vanishes, the disciples carry on staring up at the clouds. And then two previously unnoticed angels tug at their sleeves and say, "Well, come on then, don't just stand there," or words to that effect. We might be waiting, staying put, inhabiting this strange sort of in-between time, but these angels bring our attention back to earth. The uncertainty we're living in now can feel paralyzing. We might find we're just squinting pointlessly into the distance, trying to visualize what the future will look like with clouds in the way. Today's passage reminds us, don't just stand there staring. Come back to the present moment and the tasks at hand. The simple things that we can safely do. The small, brave acts of kindness and justice that water the seeds of God's kingdom. Because earth is still here. Because people are suffering. Because there is so much grief, it's in the air. Because this virus is hitting the poorest hardest. There are things that we can do in the here and now. There are ways that we can care and resist and pray and give. Through Christian Aid and locally in our own communities, as individuals and as churches. Don't just stand there. Don't be too preoccupied to notice what's right beside you. You might miss angels. Don't be too busy worrying about the future to see and respond to the needs of the present. To finish, I'd like to share a blessing written by Jan Richardson. And thank you to Pauline Shelley for reminding me about Jan Richardson and giving me the nudge to look for one of her books. This is from a book called Circle of Grace, a book of blessings for the seasons. I'm going to read you a blessing she's written for Ascension, which just seems so sharply relevant to our situation of beginning to think about emerging from the lockdown. It's called Stay. It's based on Jesus's instruction to his disciples just before his ascension to stay put in Jerusalem. Stay. I know how your mind rushes ahead, trying to fathom what could follow this. What will you do? Where will you go? How will you live? You will want to outrun the grief. You will want to keep turning toward the horizon, watching for what was lost to come back, to return to you and never leave again. For now, hear me when I say, all you need to do is still yourself. Is turn toward one another, is to stay. Wait and see what comes to fill the gaping hole in your chest. Wait with your hands open to receive what could never come, except to what is empty and hollow. You cannot know it now, cannot even imagine what lies ahead. But I tell you, the day is coming when breath will fill your lungs as it never has before. And with your own ears, you will hear words coming to you new and startling. You will dream dreams, and you will see the world ablaze with blessing. Wait for it. Still yourself. Stay. Amen.